Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. The Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station present Les RVF Marathon, which aims to promote language duality in Canada across the country. Stay tuned for this marathon day of the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie and visit www.ncra.ca/RVF for more information on this event.
CJSR 88.5 Community and Campus Radio Station is located at the University of Alberta. The University of Alberta acknowledges that we are located on Treaty 6 territory and respects the histories, languages, and cultures of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and all First Peoples of Canada, whose presence continues to enrich our vibrant community. L'Université de l'Alberta reconnaît qu'elle est située sur les terres du Treaty 6 et respecte les histoires, les langues et les cultures des Premières Nations, des Métis, des Inuits, et de tous les peuples autochtones du Canada, dont la présence continue d'enrichir notre communauté si vivante.
Tansé, Nipakwe, Simuwen, Papimoti, Netsigarsun, Otikia, Amiskunchi, Wiskagen, Ekwa, Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. My name is Ambrose Cardinal. I introduce you in my traditional name given to me in ceremony, which I'm very honored to uphold and to do that work, because not a lot of, you know, Indigenous people have that opportunity, but also not a lot of Métis people have that opportunity either. I do that to kind of ground myself and remind myself of who I am. And when we do that, we also introduce you to our spirit. I always carry around that spirit, but it's good to introduce it to myself, or to you too, because it just sets things off in a better way, I think. More open.
My name is Diana Chiang Jurado, and I am a Métis from Ecuador. Being a Spanish-speaking Métis or Mestiza in Latin America has a different meaning. Before moving to Canada, I had no knowledge about the cultural and historical narrative behind what has now become Canada as a country. I had the honor of having meaningful conversations with my two Métis guests, Les Skinner and Ambrose Cardinal. With the deep welcoming and a spiritual introduction Ambrose gave us, I am now open to share my profound conversations and important understanding of the Métis. Some of the questions we will be answering are, who are the Métis people of North Turtle Island? Which languages do they speak? Cree, Machif, French, English? What has shaped the language and cultural identity of some of the Métis? Where do they come from? Due to my own historical background as a mestiza from South America, I think it is highly important to understand and educate ourselves in learning about the language, identity, history, and culture of the Métis. Now, without further delay, let's dig into this documentary together.
My name is Les Skinner. Yeah, I'm Métis. My family is from a community in Manitoba called Balsam Bay. I can speak Michif, Cree, French, and English.
Who would you say is a Métis?
First thing I gotta say, though, you get my perspective. It's just the perspective of me, an individual Métis. There are so many of us. Some people might think a little differently about their identity because there's diversity also in our culture. Who I would say is a Métis is someone who is descendant from and identifies with the Métis Nation. People who call themselves Métis, you know, through history. And that comes back to Red River. Starts in Red River, southern Manitoba. But through kinship, it spreads to plenty of other places. And also from Métis traveling. Sometimes you have Métis identities that are very far away from the Red River, but they still have that historic connection. That's what makes them Métis.
For me personally, through my trials and tribulations of understanding politics, experiencing life as a white passing Métis person, but then to also have family members who are way darker skinned than me, seeing the disparities between myself and them, I come from things in a different perspective. And I come from everything from like a more so decolonial perspective. The way that I acknowledge someone to be Métis is more so, right, there's always the political definition, which is very grounded within like a colonial context. The state grants your identity. But for me personally, being Métis is to actually have a connection to this place. Understanding the complexities of my history, moving forward and carrying that with me, and kind of being dignified, not letting myself slip into the cracks of, you know, being white, but also not allowing myself to just be Cree. I always talk about Indigenous reclamation and reclaiming parts of your identity. If you have a card, could be a starting point for you to actually do the work, but not a lot of people want to do that work because it takes a lot of effort and a lot of strain to really acknowledge and see intergenerational traumas and how it creates you. And I think that to be truly Métis is to kind of start that journey of reclaiming your indigeneity and seeing things in like a more critical way, grounding yourself in the culture in some way, allowing yourself to be Métis.
What happened in Red River in early 1800s, late 1700s, is these people who were half-breeds, they were people that you could accurately call mestizos. They were mixed blood between French and or any European and native, different native groups too, like Cree and Sotos and some Stonies. But there's particular groups of them that come to have their own identity and their own way of life. Their way of life very much similar to all the other native people on the plains, but living in their own communities, still maintaining kinship ties with other native people. Those people are the ones that called themselves Métis. And we actually say in our language, Michif. It's the same thing. It's this older way of saying it. There were many half-breeds at the time that did not identify as Métis. And still today, there are people, for example, from the Jasper Valley, who are mixed of a lot of different things. Mohawk, French, some Métis mixed with them too, Cree, lots of different mountain people. And they call themselves Ashniwetchew Inuk or Ashniwetchew Nihiwak, mountain Crees or mountain people. And they don't identify as Métis, even though they're mixed, because they are their own people. And the Métis are our own people. There is an understanding of Métis that people have come to have where they associate it with mixedness because Métis, we are mixed, but the Métis people are our own people that are also, that just happen to be mixed.
How does French play a role in that identity?
Well, a lot of things. So there are a lot of Métis for whom French is their dominant language. Less and less today. You have to go by a lot of the older generations. And depending on where they are, where the closer you get to Red River, the more you have communities that are more fluent in Michif and in French, and our Métis dialect of French. And the more you start going out to more peripheral areas of the Métis Nation, then the more the Cree gets stronger. But even when the Cree is strong, there's always a little bit French words here and there, like things like la bêche or la poêle, a frying pan, right? And they'll say, when they say in Cree, if they're talking full Cree, they lose the French grammar. They always say la poêle. It doesn't matter if it's if they're saying une poêle or la poêle, they just always say la poêle. But in Métis, full language, no, you keep the French grammar. So The way Métis culture operates is a lot like how Michif language is. In Michif language, the majority of the nouns are French. All the words around the nouns and the grammar around the nouns comes from French. And the actions, the verbs, are overwhelmingly Cree. The expression, little expressions here and there, like things that are hard to say, it's not a noun or a verb, like say you're counting numbers or little words like yes and no, they're very much split. Half of them are Cree, half of them are French. But the noun overall, the noun-verb distinction, nouns being French, verbs being Cree, really reflects Métis culture a lot, because a lot of things about Métis culture, we look French. We grow a lot of facial hair. We got wavy hair. We like to jig. And our ancestors, you know, they live in cabins most of the time in the winter, not in the tents. It's a lot of things that look French, but the actions are Cree. A Cree practice is you never call people by name. You always call people how you are related. If you call someone by name, you're being kind of rude because you're treating them like they're not a relative. In Michif, and also in Métis dialect of French, which we also call Michif, we'll say my brother, mon frère, is the French word, mon frère, my brother. But we use it the same as the Cree word. I don't only say mon frère when I'm talking about my brother, but when I see him and I talk to him, I call him mon frère. Well, even people that aren't related to you, you're still going to use a kinship term. But the point is that the practice, the cultural custom, is Cree. But the word we're using
is French.
Is French.
Les has been really great for understanding who I am because he's a language teacher. When I first met Les, he was talking about how to understand Métis or to start learning Métis, you have to learn Cree first.
Métis is a language that comes from where?
There's a lot of research on it to tell you a lot of things that Métis will often tell you anyways if you just talk to them. But I'll reference anyways Peter Backer's book. He talks about how Métis language is so unique because to have a whole language that is mixed, like there are people that only speak Métis, they don't speak French alone or they don't speak Cree alone. And how did these people start talking like that? It wasn't out of making things easier because they took the most complex elements of the Cree language, which are the verbs. And they took a very notoriously confusing element of French, which are the nouns. You have to remember all the masculine, feminine, and that's how they made that language. I think it can only be described as something that was naturally created as an expression of people's identity as Métis.
Is this because of the mixing that happened?
The mixing, I would say, is what characterizes it. That's why it's got the French and the Crees, because those are the groups we're mixing, and that's why it comes out as a mixed language. Why we have our own language is because we are our own people. So the historical process happened, and the mixing happened at the same time, and that's what gives us a mixed language.
You, as a Métis, which language do you identify yourself more with, and why?
Myself, I identify more strongly with the Cree language, because where my family is from, geographically it's close to the Red River areas. So once Métis, once we got more settled, in the early 1900s, we start to get real settled, have to live in one spot. Once that kind of started to happen, then the places that are a little bit further out, then the local language becomes more dominant. I identify strongly with the Cree, but also with the Métis language because it's so unique and it has expressions of Métis values and our identity within it. There are ways that Métis, where we can be a little bit different from the Crees, and that's kind of expressed a little bit in that Michif language.
Michif phrases, wisdom and well-being. Wisdom of our ancestors. Kayas kagiskiitamach, what we know long ago. We need to be together. Sapran ti mamoya. We look out for one another. Iganawimituyach. We are connected. Isuhkamuyach.
When Métis speak French, we tend to still call it Michif because our French is a little bit different. But there are Métis, yeah, especially close when you get close to Red River in Manitoba. There are communities that are still stronger French-speaking rather than Cree or Métis. The Métis back in the day when we're free and when we're roaming around, they could probably speak all of them. French, Cree, and Michif. When people got settled in certain communities, then certain language becomes stronger, depending where they are.
The French, the Métis speak, would you say it's more closely related to Michif than the French from France, for example?
So there's a few things. One, this older French, just like the kind of rural Quebec French, is very similar to that in the word. There's lots of different kinds of French that are spoken in Canada, right? Like, and Michif being one of them. Michif, old Quebec French, old New Brunswick French being very closely related. A lot of things, like, for example, you learn French in school, you always get taught not to pronounce the T that's written at the end of the word. But in all those dialects of French, you always pronounce the T. You say tout, but same thing with even sometimes T's that aren't written, like isha to mean here. That's how we talk too. And those things are all really similar. Where things are different is that words in the Michif dialect of French have to be interpreted through a native cultural perspective. It's a European language, but that's been brought into a native way of thinking and feeling and being. So, for example, for so many years, Métis, we used to have this. We would have a gouvernement provisoire when we go out buffalo hunting. Gouvernement provisoire. That means provisional government. So, and it translates direct, you know, into English. Gouvernement provisoire, provisional government. Already a word that gets used in French. But before 1869, see, 1869, we set up a gouvernement provisoire to negotiate with Canada to enter into confederation. Now, that was Louis Riel who did that. Louis Riel was educated in Montreal. He brought a real Western European kind of influence into the way he did things. So he set up these governments that could be called gouvernement provisoire in the European sense, in the French meaning of the word. You could call them, you could interpret it correctly. But at the same time, the military side of the rebellion were run the way a traditional Métis gouvernement provisoire is run. And that should not be interpreted as how we would think of provisional government in English, or how an educated person would think of a gouvernement provisoire in the history of European political thought. A gouvernement provisoire is more accurately defined as a which is a warrior society government. When there's time of emergency, all the Plains Nations had a very similar way of organizing camp, and having the warrior society would take control of camp. They would be in charge of having scouts posted. So you have a big community hunting buffalo. You had to make sure no one's going to run the buffalo ahead of everyone else, because the buffalo run, now they got to go hungry until you catch up to them again. And it was a structure that was a kind of direct consensus indigenous style of democracy, not a Western representative style.
Why do you think the French the Métis speak is not perceived as French or proper French?
Yeah, not only is not known as French, but because we say words that are associated in other parts of Canada as being an uneducated form of French. They're identified as being not acceptable in something like the university academic institution. That older kind of rural Quebec French is not that different in spirit than the spirit in indigenous languages. And when you talk to a lot of people from Quebec, because it's not that long ago that Quebec was a lot more rural of a place, a lot of people still have, or at least they have a memory of, these traditions of around family holidays and things coming together and play fiddle and jigging and having all this dancing and culture and fun that was happening and a way of life that all existed in a kinship context and a family-oriented culture and society. And that is not so different from the indigenous way of thinking. The indigenous way of thinking and the kind of old rural peasant European way of thinking are not that different. It's once you get into the hierarchicalized European society that the ways of thinking become very different.
Ambrose, you mentioned to me that you do have some French heritage on one side of your family. Why is it that you don't speak French?
I kind of have a retaliation against having to use French as a language because I'm already like, oh, I'm already using this colonial language, English. So like, I don't really care much for French. Most Métis people are like assimilated into Anglo life because Machif language and like Cree language or Ojibwe or Anishinaabe, like all those different languages that potential Métis people today might have historically mixed with, they were all part of the assimilation process. I would say that the majority of Métis people only speak English. That's the reality in which we're in, like dominant English-speaking country. We only speak English because there's a long history of shame. Because my chapon, my great-grandfather, he spoke Machif, and he would speak it. So he'd speak Machif. He would mix it up all the time. Like he'd speak Machif, and then he'd speak English, and then he'd just speak Cree. So it'd always be like this like triple language mixture. His kids didn't really learn it because they were subjected to residential school and all that. There's a lot of internalized shame in that process. But he was like the only one to really know it. And at the time, I didn't really have the aptitude to go learn it myself, you know, because I was just a little kid. Didn't really understand the significance of the language. On one side of my family, it kind of has that mix, the French Cree mix. But then on the other side, it's a Scottish Cree mix or Irish Cree mix.
How has the French language and culture impacted you?
French language and culture has impacted me in mostly in the ways that it is compatible and it overlaps with the indigenous way of life and culture. But I have to say that I have been resentful, as many Native people are, that one side of, and many Métis are, that one side of our ancestry is taught in schools and accepted, and one side is not. The Métis kids were not allowed to talk French because when the Métis kids talk French, it's associated to a Native identity. And that kind of resentment that I kind of feel for having seen that in my life, it pushes me more to the Native side.
I really dislike when people only consider the dominant factor of the mixing to be French, because it almost perpetuates this colonial narrative of like the French having like this influence on us that is changing ourselves to be like a better race. There's always these really negative connotations with it.
Is your identity mostly based on your indigenous heritage?
Yeah, damn right. And it should be, because you should be proud of who you are. Mm-hmm. Like I see a lot of Métis in my community who are reclaiming some sort of their indigenous heritage, but then they don't know how to reclaim like the whiteness of them. So they're always like conflicted. They're like, oh, I shouldn't really reclaim my indigenous heritage because I'm also white. So then it's like they just like stop themselves, I guess, to go full out and be proud of who they are.
Regarding Métis identity, what is something really important we should learn and understand?
People still carry a lot. They look at Native culture and they think that it's inferior. They think it's only a part. Like they think it's something like something from their own history, but it's not. The Native culture is just as developed, have our own ways of doing everything and our own way of life. What needs to be acknowledged is that Native cultures, I should say, different but equal. The Métis dialect of France, yeah, it's different. We use a lot of words that in Quebec they would associate as not being appropriate for an academic institution or whatever. They associate it as not being as expressive. But the Métis dialect of French, we can express ourselves just as articulately, just as thoroughly in our dialect as they can after going to university for so many years.
According to you, in order for your languages to survive, what should be done at the moment?
First thing, we're going to need our land back. No, I'm joking. But I'm sort of joking. But we have a word, you know, in Cree, witashkyun, that means you're at peace, right? But the root of that word, witashkyun, which is like together, ashki is the land, sharing the land. That's how you say peace in Cree. So when if people say we need our land back, we don't mean we need everybody to get out of here. What we mean is that we need to be able to have the shared land again. We have to be able to access and travel, because at the root of mate language was that constant moving from place to place. We need to start having immersion school. We need to eventually be developing native economies that can run at least partially in our language for it to be practical. That is what will make it survive.
I want to give a special thanks to Les and Ambrose for enriching our understanding of the culture, history, identity, and language of the Métis through their perspective. I will also like to thank my dear linguist friend Erin McGarvey for her support in the production of this project. The Métis people are their own people. They have their own identity, their own way of thinking, including the indigenous way of thinking. Dear Métis of North Turtle Island, you are different but equal and beautiful. This South American mestiza wants to leave you with the words of a song called Amutui that speaks for itself. Under which law was I judged? What am I guilty of? Being free in my land? Or maybe being Indian? What conquest are they celebrating? I cannot understand. To all my listeners, thank you for joining me. I hope you have enjoyed this documentary and that this will be a stepping stone into understanding who the Métis are as people, as community, as a vibrant nation owning and enriching this land since the beginning of times. You are listening to CJSR 88.5 FM, an NCRA member station located in Edmonton, Alberta. This documentary is a production to celebrate the 50th anniversary of bilingualism in Canada through Rendezvous de la Francophonie. The Mischief Words audio material belongs to Lee Mischief Otipe Misiwak Family and Community Services in Kamloops, British Columbia.
Thank you for joining us for this marathon day of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, presented by the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station. For more information on les Rendezvous de la Francophonie events, or to provide feedback on the show, visit www.rvf.ca.